The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Welcome back to Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. So glad you're joining us this afternoon on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. It is Tuesday. If you're a fantasy football player, this is the day of the week you look forward to. Actually, I look forward to Wednesday morning the most, because that's when you could see if your waiver claims went through. And we're going to talk fantasy football with one of the best out there. Fanball.com, it is Paul Charchian joining us in the Sports Bar. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing great. Hi, guys. And if Wednesday's the highlight of your week, your team kind of stinks. I mean, if that's like the high watermark for your fantasy team during the week, something's gone horribly wrong.
It's something in my case, yes. Many cases with many of my teams, Wednesday is the day. It's like, oh, good. But really, when we're talking about waiver wire ads for this week, Paul, I mean, at this point, you should be pretty much set for the rest of the season. But just in case, I mean, is there anybody out there that if you made a claim or if you're desperate, could reverse your fortune, could change the course of your season?
Yeah, you know, I think it's two things. One, we've got some emerging quarterback situations that are worth watching. And then secondarily, now's the time for playoff teams to start securing those handcuffs. Our bye weeks are virtually over. And so you don't need that, like, 40th best running back, you know, that Frank Gore type that you just sort of, you know, slot in and you'd get your 70 yards and, you just make do during a bye week. Now you want Spencer Ware in case anything were to happen to Kareem Hunt or Giovanni Bernard or Rod Smith or Malcolm Brown. And I think savvy playoff bound owners are starting to think along those lines a little bit too.
The Patriots don't play this week, but right. I'm just curious as to what happened last week. And is this finally going to be there? And I'll ask it this way. Is Gronk still an automatic play when the Patriots are back, when he's back in the lineup?
People are dropping him this week.
Wow.
A lot of people are. You know, they've had it with it. You know, we're talking about a guy who hasn't scored since week, I want to say, 4. So even when he has played, I'm going to look it up now. When he has played, Gronk has not been giving us, hasn't scored since week 1, Rob Gronkowski, It's been a disaster scenario for all of us that spent an early first-round pick on it. And you had the right idea because you knew this was a terrible year for tight ends, and you wanted to have one of the good ones, and you figured Gronk could be safe, and it hasn't worked out that way. And for a lot of people, you can't afford the bye week. You have to move on, and I understand that. And if you're going to drop Gronk, then the hope is that you do it now, and you make somebody bid a lot for him to go try to get Gronk and get him. So to answer your question more directly, though, is he an automatic start? No, I mean, I don't think he can be right now when you look back and say, you know, in all of his other starts, this is a guy who hasn't topped 100 yards or scored a touchdown since week 1. So I don't think Gronk is in automatic start territory any longer.
He is Paul Charchian of Fanball.com. Good with his time and joining us in the Sports Bar as we talk some fantasy football with Danger and Battaglia here on ESPN Rochester. When good strategies go bad, Paul, we've got a couple of instances here over the last couple of weeks, especially if you're a defensive streamer. I am a defensive streamer. I do this a lot. You tell me where you come down in this, because it was a couple of weeks ago Thursday night when San Francisco started Nick Mullins, and I thought to myself, you know what a good strategy would be? To start Oakland's defense. Yeah. Well, that didn't work out, and we've got a more recent example that hits a little bit closer to home. The New York Jets looked like a good strategy going into Sunday's game against the Bills. Of course, we know how that played out as well. I guess my question is, if you're a defensive streamer, are there any sure things right now that might be available? Do you look down the road of the schedule and you see, you know, I look at a team like the Chiefs, who on the field don't have a great defense on the field, but for fantasy purposes, they've been a pretty good defense this year. Their schedule looks a little bit rough here towards the end of the season. What say you about some of these defenses as we wrap up here the final course of the season?
As a general rule, when I'm streaming defenses, I always just laser focus on the opposing quarterback, because that's the guy that's going to give me the points that I need. I need interceptions. I need sacks absorbed. I need strip sacks. I need, you know, the fumbles that come out of the quarterback position. And I think that's a lot of what led people to try the Jets last week. Didn't work. And it turns out they had, you know, should have taken the other side of that defensive coin, as it turned out. But that's how I usually aim it every week, is I'm looking for that vulnerable quarterback that I can go get. Now, this week coming up, it might be the Giants, a defense you can probably get as they go up against Ryan Fitzpatrick, a guy who we know makes mistakes, and you just sort of have to live with the mistakes with Ryan Fitzpatrick because he gives you 400 passing yards every game. So you know they're willing to let him make those mistakes, and you can cash in from a streaming fantasy standpoint.
What about this Arizona-Oakland matchup? Arizona home this Sunday. It's not a football game I particularly want to watch, but is this a matchup maybe you can take advantage of here? Yeah,
Josh Rosen has played markedly better the last couple of games out before and after the bye, and here comes an Oakland defense that's given up multiple touchdown passes in every game since week two. Only Case Keenum has not thrown at least two, so it's been 2, 3, 3, and 3 touchdown passes allowed, and you've got Larry Fitzgerald finally healthy off the hamstring injury. So yeah, I think there's some sneaky plays to be had. I don't know, maybe everybody against the Raiders is not a sneaky play, but this seems like a good opportunity for Christian Kirk, who's available in a lot of leagues as well, and he might be a good guy you could throw a flyer on too.
Fanball.com's Paul Charchi, and joining us to talk some fantasy football in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Let's face it, Paul, this weekend, everything is foreplay leading up to Monday night. Monday night,
yes.
The Rams and the Chiefs, we've had this one circled for some time, but there are concerns about the conditions of the field. How much stock as we get into the winter months here? How much stock do you put in before you're setting your lineups up on the weather conditions, the field conditions, you know, wind, snow, or in the case of Mexico City, grass? What are your thoughts going into not just Monday night's game, but an overall philosophy on setting your lineup based on weather conditions?
Years ago, I had the opportunity to talk to Marv Levy about this very topic. Which was, you know, as good an authority I think there is on bad field conditions. And he was of the opinion that bad field conditions help the offense more often than it hurts the offense. And so for me, I don't panic on anything until Sunday morning when I can actually see the field and the precipitation, which is usually the issue. Snow, no problem. Don't care. The only thing, unless it's an absolute blizzard, don't care. The things that worry me on weather and field conditions is a disaster field condition scenario like we might have on Monday night, and kickers especially, where they need to be able to have the firm footing for the plant leg. Those guys can get hurt a lot on that, and sometimes it also favors runners who are straight ahead runners more than, you know, your scat backs and your guys that have to try to cut to make their yards. So mostly I don't panic on weather. It's just more often than not, it's not a problem. I worry about wind more than I worry about snow, rain, and most of those things. So I just, more often than not, it doesn't end up being a factor. And I think you're, you know, the people listening there, you've seen so many bad weather, snow games. And more often than not, I think it turns out fine.
Well, you brought up that game in Mexico City, and it's on Monday night, though, Paul.
If it
ends up in that, I mean, what is
what
your
do you
advice?
Do?
Yeah, right. I mean,
there's talk about either two things. One, they might move the game, and or they may actually punt it forward a week, which would be really crazy because they're both on bye the next week. I think they're the last two teams on bye, so there's talk that the game might not even happen. And so that would be a crazy scenario. Hopefully we'll know for sure before Sunday, because it put a huge, huge monkey wrench in fantasy use if they don't make that decision before Sunday at 1 o'clock, right? When everybody's setting lineups and everything. There's two scenarios here where the field might be dangerous enough to the players where this thing doesn't happen, but I still think it's a 95% likelihood they'll play.
Paul Charchi and Fanball.com, our guest in the Sports Bar, as we talk fantasy football. Paul, I've got my eye on Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
Yes.
What do you think the likelihood is that Lamar Jackson, I mean, I know we're waiting on a verdict on Flacco's hip, but you know, how impactful, if he gets a go, will Lamar Jackson be for fantasy purposes?
Potentially very, and here's why. An elite level runner at the quarterback position, most games, he's going to get you, what do you think, guys, 40, 50, 60-ish rushing yards?
Sure.
Is that fair? And a coin flip's chance at a touchdown? He's at that point, he's like getting Frank Gore just with your rushing numbers. Then, he's not a skilled passer yet. Then, but let's assume he can get to 190 or 220 passing yards and even one touchdown. That's all sort of like just gravy on top. I'm getting like RB2 numbers just with his legs, and all the passing is just like a bonus. That's why I love Lamar Jackson. And if he does happen to connect on two or even three passing touchdowns and the rushing? Well, now you've hit that bonanza that only rushing quarterbacks can give you. And that's why I'm really optimistic about Lamar Jackson and think everybody should make a move to go try to acquire him.
I don't think you would recommend any Buffalo Bill, but I'll ask in this context of teams that are falling out of the race come December here. Is there anybody worth picking up that might see it extended time that could produce some numbers here down the stretch?
Yeah, in sort of a backup role, you mean? As, you know, some team that's gone so far underwater that, you know, backups come in and start producing? The only guy that I've got that sort of fits into that category right now is Brandon LaFell, who is basically your number one receiver at this point for the Oakland Raiders. And, you know, if you look, Martavis Bryant just went down with a serious knee injury, and Jordy Nelson is basically playing with a fork stuck in his back. He's done. So, yeah, you could try Brandon LaFell as your go-to receiver on a team that's always playing from behind, constantly, the Raiders. So that might be your sneaky, you know, lousy team angle if you want to try to find one.
Another guy that I've got my eye on in terms of quarterback streaming or two quarterback flex leagues, because of how he's looked or how he looks when he has Leonard Fournette on the field with him, is Blake Bortles sucking us back in, Paul?
I was asking myself the same thing watching that game, because the Jacksonville offense looked so much better just having him on the field, Fournette on the field, and Bortles looked like a better quarterback as well. And what we forget about Bortles, sneaky runner. You know, he chips in a solid 20, 30, 40 rushing yards in a lot of different games. And if defenses have to worry a lot more about Fournette, yeah, there's an angle there where Blake Bortles has a return to competency in not traditional one quarterback leagues, but if you're in a two quarterback league or a QB flex, I am one of those guys. I'm holding Blake Bortles in my QB flex league because of a pretty favorable schedule down the stretch that makes me feel like, you know, I might just throw a dart on Blake Bortles in a bigger league in the fantasy playoffs. It's not impossible.
Paul Charchi and fanball.com, our guest here in the sports bar. Paul, what's happened to the Philadelphia Eagles here?
Wow. Yeah, injuries, right? They've lost a ton of players with injury. Offensive linemen have gone down. Jay Ajayi's gone down. Darren Sproles has gone down. Ronald Darby just went on IR for the year on defense. And also, this is the storyline nobody's talking about. Who was the genius behind that amazing Eagles offense last year?
Yeah.
Was it Doug Peterson or was it Frank Reich?
I mentioned that yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, your personnel on the field isn't that different for Philadelphia, but the sideline sure looks a little bit different, because underneath Doug Peterson, you had Reich and you had your guy there, DeFilippo, in Minnesota now. Two guys that really, now that they're not there, my view on how they used Golden Tate, you know, like you've got basically an 8-game purchase on your hands with Golden Tate, but you only had him on the field for, I think, 30% of the snaps on Sunday night.
Weird.
I mean, that's off. And I think that's the kind of thing that, you know, you had to check some balances and a little quality control in Philadelphia last year with Reich and with DeFilippo underneath Peterson.
And look at what Andrew Luck is doing right now under Reich. He's had at least 3 touchdowns in 6 straight games. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's staggering. In the way that they have tailored an offense to match the recovery of his arm has been great. It was all dink and dunk a little. It was short passes through all of the first month of the season. And then as the arm has gotten stronger, they've let him extend out his passing. And defenses haven't been able to adjust, and he's throwing these incredibly good passes. And they put all those draft picks into the offensive line. The offensive line is awesome. Maybe the best in the NFL, quietly, in Indianapolis. So I think Frank Reich, I think they really miss him a lot with Philadelphia.
Paul Charchi and fanball.com. Paul, when was the last time we had you on?
Hold on a second, because we haven't had a lot to be excited about this football season.
Uh-huh.
But I know the last time we had Paul on, and you know, Paul, for you that don't know, is in Minnesota. He's in Minneapolis. He's in Vikings territory. And we wanted to get, you know, he's close to the team. He sees the team, follows the team closely. How did the Bills fare against the Minnesota Vikings earlier this year? Before we talked about that game, we really wanted to know, Paul, do the Bills have any chance at all of winning that game? Is there any glimpse or glimmer of hope or positivity for the Bills going into Minnesota on Sunday?
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't think so. And I'm not saying that just to be a homer. It's just, this is a really good team and they're better at home. And from a talent standpoint, I don't see how it really works out, I don't see it, guys. You know, Josh Allen is a work in progress. I think he would have been best suited still learning from the bench for a year like Patrick Mahomes. But it is, you know, it is what it is now.
We wanted to have you on that following Monday, Paul. We weren't able to connect. But that was we never got the chance to ask. What happened?
It was those first couple of series where the Vikings had the turnovers deep in their own territory. And, you know, then the game just it completely got out of hand. What? I don't think I've ever been more surprised. And, as a lifelong Viking fan and somebody who's worked on the flagship station for 20 years, I don't think I've ever been more surprised at an outcome than that one. That the Vikings, not only did they lose the game, they lost a game in which they were what I think they were the fourth biggest favorite in Las Vegas betting lines in 30 years, and they lost it convincingly from the outset and were never in it. Staggering reversal. And the two teams couldn't have looked more different heading into that game.
Right.
You know, the Vikings were on a huge roll, and you guys have been destroyed in the prior couple of games. And, man, wow. We're still not sure entirely how everything got away from the Vikings to such a great degree and turned what seemed like an automatic win into a loss. Unbelievable game.
Well, as far as Josh Allen, we still don't have – and you got hurt, and that doesn't help matters. But is there anything you saw him in person there. Is there anything you can take away out of Josh Allen makes you think, maybe there's something to work with there?
Yeah, actually, I think – you know, and I wish we'd had a chance to see more of him. But, yeah, I mean, obviously the mobility's awesome. And, you know, that part of it is going to be pretty special for him. And he does make some throws that are NFL caliber throws, and just got to rein in the bad throws. And actually, I thought he'd be just an interception machine. And while some of them were there, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So overall, given that we haven't been able to see nearly as much as we would have liked, I thought he's actually played a lot better than I expected him to. We just need more completions, and, you know, he's probably sitting at like a 49% completion percentage or something, and we knew that'd be an issue for him because that wasn't his long suit in college, and it's too bad that he's not going to get more time to work on it this year. But he's back right – wait, are we back this week? We think he's back this week, right?
He'll be – well, they're on a bye this week. He'll back against the Jags next week, exactly.
Yeah, because they let Nate Peterman go, which was an act of mercy, really.
He's gone from a figure that everybody kind of scratched their head and really had a disdain for to just the ultimate sympathetic figure. I don't think there's a single person now that's a Buffalo Bills fan that doesn't feel sorry for that guy.
Yeah. Think about that it came to this, that you had pity on a quarterback who was so bad and yet had to play. That's what it came down to. It's sad. Yeah. A funny thing is, remember when he was drafted, there were a lot of people that were like, you know, one of the steals of the draft. They were people that loved that pick and just thought that he was, you know, he wasn't this big cannon-armed guy, but he had been an accurate passer, and that he had pro-style experience. And there were a lot of people who loved that pick at the time, and didn't work.
Paul, you're very gracious with your time. We love talking fantasy football with you. I want to make sure you have a little bit of time to talk about fanball.com. The Guillotine League is something that there are whispers that you hear about it, and we've certainly talked about it with you on the air. I want you to kind of, you know, reset what the Guillotine League is all about if you're a fantasy football player looking for new challenges, something different, something that you want to try. Because I know that this week in your Guillotine League, you had quite a few players available through free agency that would make the rest of the season really more interesting than anything you could probably put out there.
Yeah, and you don't need to do this at FanBall. You can play this anywhere. And at this stage, you're probably just going to want to put this in the back of your mind for next season. But the premise behind the Guillotine League is it's a 17-person league. And every week, the low-scoring team, there's no head-to-head, every week the low-scoring team gets chopped out of the Guillotine League. And this is the best part. All that entire roster gets kicked out to free agency. So every week there's great players who hit free agency. This week is now, you know, now we're 10 weeks into this thing. This week in my Guillotine League, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Adam Thielen all got cut from the low scoring team. I mean, think about those guys hitting the waiver wire and the pandemonium of bidding that's going on in the Guillotine Leagues. It's so much fun. We're going to have a bunch of Guillotine League offerings at FanBall for people who can't find 17 other people to play. that we're going to do at FanBall next football season because it's just been so popular. This is our first year trying this. It's an absolute blast. You can play it anywhere you want, but we love it.
Yeah, it's Survivor football meets fantasy football. I can't wait to get into the league next year.
Yeah, let's be sure to do that. Let's get you in our league. That'd be a blast.
We are in.
Yeah, we're in.
Right, consider us in. Get us
Fantastic.
The invitation. We're playing, Paul. We love it. And we love talking with you. This has been great, as always. Really appreciate you giving us some time. Check out fanball.com. The great Paul Charchi and talking some fantasy football here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Paul, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, guys.
Paul Charchi, just great, deep knowledge. Not just fantasy football, just football. Like,
yeah, we say fantasy football. That's a real football conversation from somebody that knows. And we shift gears here quickly. So we have two breaking stories here. First, you heard Paul Charchian talk about the Chiefs and Rams game. This from 345, the update on ESPN.com. Chiefs and Rams players considering not playing due to messy field in Mexico City. Now we have anonymous players saying they ain't going.
Good. That's exactly what they should do. I was going to touch on that as we play. I'll drink to that next in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. The only standard that exists is a double standard, Gene. I'll explain. And I'll also tell you why the Le'Veon Bell situation will go down as the worst holdout in the history of pro sports. Mm-hmm. Was that the other breaking story that you were going to touch on? There's two, right?
There's two.
And the NFL. And the,
yeah, Schefter's saying that it's not happening. Right. We'll know officially here in 6 minutes where Le'Veon Bell or not in Pittsburgh.
Provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. We play I'll Drink to That every day at this time. It's on the way next in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24/7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.